Welcome. Thank you for listening and observing Good Friday with me. My name is Chad Freeman, and I'm the associate pastor here at High Level Evangelical Church. This is Good Friday's message, and on Good Friday, we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. This Good Friday, we're asking the question, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? Now, we know that Jesus did die. We're not asking if Jesus died, we're asking why Jesus died. Do you know why Jesus died? The short answer is that Jesus died because we needed him to. Jesus died because by his death, Jesus was able to do something you and I could not do. We needed Jesus to do the thing we couldn't. Now, I don't want you to think that the thing Jesus did was something you could have done if you really wanted to or learned to. For example, I can't fix my car, so I pay a mechanic to do it for me. But the truth is, if I took enough time to learn and figure it out, I could fix my car. But it's just way more convenient for me to pay someone else to do it. But the reason we needed Jesus to die is because by his death, he accomplished for us what we could never do, no matter how much time we had, and no matter how clever we are. Jesus didn't just die for our convenience or because it was easier for him to do it. No, the reason you needed Jesus to die for you is because Jesus did something by his death that was impossible for you to do. So why did Jesus have to die? Why do we need Jesus to die? My prayer is that you will not only understand why you needed Jesus to die, but that you will believe that he did die. And when he did, he accomplished what you could not do, but really needed him to do. We're going to learn why Jesus died from Isaiah 53. So I'd ask you to grab your Bible and follow along as I read Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 12. I'm going to be reading from the NIV translation, but please follow along in whatever translation you have. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Before diving in, why don't we just take a moment to pray? Dear Lord, on this unusual Good Friday, we come before you, soberly reflecting upon the death of Jesus Christ. God, I ask that right now you would help us understand why Jesus had to die. Lord, help us understand why we need Jesus to die, how much we need Jesus to die. Lord, ultimately we are grateful that Jesus died for us. In your name, amen. When we look at Isaiah 53, we learn that this portion of Scripture is talking about God's servant. When it was written, Isaiah 53 was a prophecy about God's servant. When it was written, Isaiah 53 was saying what God's servant would do in the future. Was this prophecy fulfilled? Yes. We know now that Jesus is the servant of God spoken about in these verses. Now, Isaiah 53 is about what Jesus has already done. So, what does Isaiah 53 say that Jesus has already done? Well, it says that Jesus died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. That's the thing we needed Jesus to do because we couldn't do it ourselves. Let's just start working our way through Isaiah 53, a verse at a time. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, I know I didn't read it, but we learn that Jesus wasn't what we would find attractive. In fact, Jesus is said to be despised and rejected. He's a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Why was Jesus a man of suffering and familiar with pain? Verse 4 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering." You see, Jesus was a man of suffering and pain because he was taking up our pain and suffering. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted." Jesus took up our pain, bore our suffering, and we thought he was the bad guy. But Jesus was hurt. He was stricken and afflicted in our place. See, when we ask the question, why did Jesus die? Isaiah 53 tells us that Jesus died willingly in our place. Verse 4 emphasizes that what Jesus went through, he went through in our place. Jesus took up our pain and bore our suffering. Verse 5 continues to emphasize that Jesus, who was God's servant, died willingly in our place. Look at verse 5 with me. "For he was pierced." Why? "For our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus was punished and wounded in our place. He was pierced in our place. He was crushed in our place. You see, Jesus suffered the punishment for our wrongs. And because he took our punishment for our wrongs, we are healed and we receive peace. Verse 6 continues to make the point that Jesus died willingly in our place. When it says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray." We all includes all of us. No one is exempt. All of us have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that's on Jesus, the iniquity of who? Of us. Jesus, God, laid onto Jesus our iniquity. Now, do you know what iniquity is? Iniquity is not a word you will hear very often outside of church. Iniquity means wickedness or sin or guilt. We could say that God laid on Jesus the guilt of us all. And because our guilt was transferred to Jesus, Jesus becomes the guilty one, which means he gets the punishment for the wrong things we have done. The punishment for our iniquity, for our guilt, it was death. Thus, Jesus died willingly in our place. When I was young, a small boy, I lived in a townhouse complex. That's kind of where I grew up. And a townhouse complex, it's a group of houses, and oftentimes the complex is built in a way that they all kind of face onto a common area. In the common area, there's like parking, maybe a park, a basketball court, some grass. Anyways, I was just walking along the sidewalk in front of the houses in this complex, and suddenly a lady comes out of her house as I'm walking by it, and she starts claiming that she saw me break some glass, and then she forced me to clean up this broken glass. But I wasn't the one that broke the glass. Some other kids had broken the glass, but their guilt got laid on me. Now, being punished for someone else's misdeeds, I gotta tell you, it's not fun. Having to take the punishment for someone else is humiliating. But this is what Jesus did for us. Jesus died willingly in our place. He took the punishment we deserved. We broke the glass, but Jesus cleaned up the mess. Well, I was forced to take some other kid's punishment, but I'm going to be honest. I didn't take it willingly, and I didn't take it well. As I swept up the glass, I was huffing about my innocence. I was complaining that I had to clean up someone else's mess. I was doing such a poor job at it that the lady felt she needed to instruct me on how to use a broom. I wasn't taking someone else's place willingly. I was forced into it. I was pressed into it. But not Jesus. Jesus died willingly in our place. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In taking our punishment for our sin, in going to the cross to be killed, Jesus didn't complain. He didn't proclaim his innocence to everyone who would listen. He didn't grumble on the way to the cross. He did it willingly. Jesus died willingly in our place. Now, of all people, Jesus did not deserve the treatment he was given. While I didn't break the glass I had to clean up, I was not an innocent and pure child. I have committed more than my fair share of wrongs, and a lot of those wrongs I've just never been punished for. Yet Jesus never did any wrong. That's why his treatment, it was oppression. Verse 8 says, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? When Jesus was condemned, nobody came to his defense. Nobody was like, hey, this is wrong. This judgment is unjust. Rather, back to verse 8, he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was punished. Jesus died in our place. He was cut off from the land of the living. Verse 9 goes on to say he was assigned a grave with the wicked. You don't assign to living people a grave, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus did not deserve the death he died. He never committed any crime, and yet he was hung on the cross to die. He was pierced, he was crushed, he was stricken and afflicted, he was punished and wounded, he was oppressed and judged. This was the treatment we deserved for our sins, for our wrongs. We are the guilty ones. We are the ones who deserved the crucifixion and more. We are the ones who deserved to die. Yet, Jesus died willingly in our place. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why would he die willingly in our place? Look at the last few verses of Isaiah with me. In verse 10, it says, though it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he, being God's servant, who we know is Jesus, Jesus will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. From this verse, we begin to see some reasons why Jesus would die willingly in our place. First, it was God's will that this would happen. Second, God made Jesus an offering for sin. Now, what does that mean? It means that by his death, Jesus delivered us from the penalty of sin. He substituted himself for us. In other words, Jesus died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. See, wherever sin occurs, wherever sin occurs, it incurs a penalty that must be paid. Friends, every sin that's ever committed will be judged, will be paid for. The only question is, who's going to pay the penalty for that sin? When God made Jesus an offering for sin, Jesus was paying the penalty for our sin so that we would not have to. Jesus died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. And that's the thing we need but cannot do ourselves. Let's move on to verse 11. There we read that after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. In this verse, we get more clues about why Jesus had to die and would die in our place. Through Jesus' suffering and death, he will justify many and bear their iniquities. Now, what does it mean, though, that Jesus will justify many and bear their guilt? Justify means to make righteous or declare righteous. And by justifying the many, Jesus is making people righteous, or in other words, he's making them innocent. See, righteousness is also innocence. This fits well with what is said immediately after. Well, Jesus will bear their iniquities. Jesus will make many people innocent by bearing many people's guilt. So why did Jesus die? He died so that we would not receive the penalty of our guilt, of our sin. He took on our guilt and died so that we would be righteous and live. He died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Friends, Christ did a lot for us. Now you might wonder, well, what does Jesus get out of this? Verse 12 says, therefore means in light of everything that God's servant has done, I, God, will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus, as God's servant, gets exalted. In fact, because Jesus died willingly in our place, friends, we're the transgressors that Jesus made intercession for. We're the transgressors Jesus was numbered among. We're the people who Jesus poured his life out unto death for. We're the ones Jesus bore the sins of. And because he died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin, Jesus gets exalted over everything. Philippians 2 says that when Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. How was Jesus exalted after he died? Well, to find out the answer to that question, you actually need to come back on Easter Sunday, where we will talk about the resurrection of Jesus. But this is Good Friday, where we focus on the fact that Jesus did die willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. See, Good Friday, it's a sober reminder that Jesus died in our place, and he had to die because death was the punishment, is the punishment for sin. But friends, he did. He did die willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin, and he did that through his crucifixion on the cross. On the cross, his body was broken and his blood was shed. On the cross, Christ bore the penalty of sin so that we could be forgiven. And that's why we remember Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday. Now, communion is actually one of the primary ways we observe or we remember Christ's crucifixion. Communion reminds us that Jesus died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. The bread, it symbolizes Christ's body, which was broken in our place. The cup symbolizes Jesus' blood, which was shed to deliver us from the penalty of sin, was shed for the forgiveness of sins. At this time, we're going to celebrate communion. Now, due to the pandemic, we unfortunately cannot gather and observe it as a body, which is unfortunate, but we can still observe communion, even if we're in different places and participating at different times. So I invite you to grab your communion supplies, pause if you need to, and when you're ready, come back. What ties us all together into one body is our belief that Jesus Christ died willingly in our place to deliver us from the penalty of sin. As a church, we have what's called an open communion table. It's open to all who believe that Jesus died willingly in their place to deliver them from the penalty of sin. If you believe that, communion is for you. Now, communion, it's a physical demonstration of a spiritual reality. The spiritual reality that we're testifying to through our physical demonstration is that Jesus did in fact die on the cross, and he did so willingly, and that he died in our place. And through Jesus' death, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. Our sins are forgiven. He bore our iniquity, and by his wounds, we are healed. So if you have your bread and juice, feel free to participate along with me. Jesus instituted the ordinance of communion, or the Lord's Supper, shortly before his crucifixion. In Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, we read that during Jesus' Last Supper, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. Break the bread you have now and eat it, remembering that Jesus' body was broken in your place to deliver you from the penalty of sin." In Matthew 26, Scripture goes on to say, "Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin.'" This reminds us of Isaiah 53 when it says, "For he bore the sins of many." Take the cup that you have and drink it now, remembering that Jesus' blood was shed in your place for the forgiveness of your sins. 1 Corinthians 11:26, speaking about communion, says that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As Christ followers, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And that death is a death Jesus died willingly in your place so that you could be delivered from the penalty of sin. And friends, that's good news. And that's why we call it Good Friday. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much that you willingly went to the cross on our behalf. You bore God's wrath. You bore God's wrath for sin, Lord, and it was for our sin. Lord, we are humbled that you would dare to take our place, that you would bear the punishment that we deserved. Lord, open our minds to understand the depths of our sin and why our sin warrants a death sentence. Lord, the more we understand the depths of our sin, the more we understand the heights of your grace. Lord, we're blown away that you would take our cross, you would bear our sin, that you would die willingly in our place, and that you would do this so that we would be delivered from the penalty of sin. Lord, knowing that you did that fills our hearts with gratitude. Jesus, thank you so much for delivering us from the penalty of sin. In your name, amen.